Continuing on where we left off last Sabbath morning, we look again at our text, verse 17 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, where Paul exhorts the believers, pray without ceasing. Last Lord's Day morning, we considered these words, and we saw in these words an exhortation to pray. An exhortation. We are exhorted to pray. Even though we know that God answers prayer, and God is waiting to be gracious to us, and he's waiting to give us whatsoever we ask, still, we're being exhorted to pray. We noted a sincere exhortation. For Paul exhorted the Christians at Thessalonica with regard to many aspects of their Christian life and their Christian walk. Here was another exhortation. Pray without ceasing. We noted as well it was a simple exhortation. Pray. As we pointed out, a child can pray. And we praise God for the children who do pray. A simple person can pray. A poor person can pray. We don't need a great deal of education to pray. As it was on the Isle of Lewis, when a number of men got together to pray for revival, and they were praying, and the blacksmith, a man with calloused hands, just an old simple blacksmith, cried out to God and quoted the Lord's word, saying the Lord promised to pour water upon him that is thirsty and floods upon the dry ground. And he cried out and he said, Lord, thou art not doing it. And suddenly, the place was shaken where they were gathered. God, the Holy Spirit, moved in power. Just prayer of a simple man. Paul says, pray. We noted also the subjects in this exhortation. Who was he wanting the believers to pray for? For the assembly, first of all, for the church itself. And then for the apostle himself. To pray for the minister of the word. To pray for the pastor. To pray for the apostle. To pray for the servant of God. Whether at home or abroad, pray for our missionaries. They are relying on our prayers. They're depending on us to pray for them. Whenever we get a missionary report, every missionary that gives their report, that some time or another in the report, they'll ask for prayer. Paul says, pray without ceasing. That leads us today to an extension to our praying. Pray, yes, but pray without ceasing. We're to extend our praying. Pray without ceasing. He called upon the believers to continuous praying. They were to continue praying. When the Lord has laid a matter upon your heart and upon mine, why there are those matters that we need to pray for, with regard, let's say, the work of God here, the work of God, wherever the Lord has called us to serve him. We're to pray without ceasing for the work, for the assembly. We're to pray for one another. We're to pray for God's servants. But then there are those times when the Lord lays something else upon our hearts, or lays an individual upon our hearts. And that individual needs our prayers. Well, Paul says, pray for them without ceasing. Continue in prayer. If we go back to what the Lord said in Luke chapter 11, regarding the asking, ask. Over and over again, the Lord said, ask. Ask. Pray. That's what prayer is. It's simply asking. In the portion we read this morning in Luke 11, of the friend who came to his friend's house late at night seeking bread because he had no bread in the house when a visitor came. And we read then in verse 8, I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because of his, he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. We pointed out, the word importunity means barefacedness. When someone does something that's quite bold, we say, he has a face on him, hasn't he? To do the like of that, or to ask for the like of that. That's a barefaced request. Well, this is the word the Lord used when it comes to praying. We are to adopt this attitude of barefacedness. We are to pray and we are to continue praying. Savior told a similar story and gave a similar illustration. Again, in Luke's Gospel, this time chapter 18. And he spake a parable unto them, to this end, men ought always to pray and not to faint. And there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded men. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. But he wouldn't do it. But this widow showed a little barefacedness. And he would not for a while. For a while. She didn't get an answer for a while. Did she give up? No. But afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Because of her importunity, because of her barefacedness, the king said he would grant her request. That's the attitude we are to adopt when it comes to prayer. In that first verse of Luke chapter 18, men ought always to pray and not to faint. I think that's a wonderful word from the Lord regarding prayer. Because here's the Lord who answers prayer, and he's exhorting his people, don't give up praying. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. Not to give up, the word means. Not to cave in. Not to lose heart. That's what that word means. Don't lose heart. And many times do we lose heart when it comes to prayer and praying for a particular matter. And yet here's the Lord encouraging us, don't lose heart. Keep at the praying. Show a little barefacedness. And Paul says, pray without ceasing. He says the same thing. Keep at it. Because the Lord will answer. The Lord will answer for the sake of Jesus Christ. We're to ask in His name. We're to ask in the name of the Lord Jesus. And if we're told to ask in the name of the Lord Jesus, then for His sake, God will answer for the sake of Christ, His Son. Words of Paul would also tell us to be consistent in prayer. Not only to continue in prayer, but be consistent. You see, it is easy for us to pray for a while about something, and then we stop praying. We forget about it. We have it at the forefront of our prayer list for a while, and then it tends to slip down the prayer list and out of sight until we're reminded, and then we start again. That's not what Paul says. Paul says, pray without ceasing. Be consistent. The word cease, pray without ceasing. That word cease means unintermittingly. Not to pray intermittently. Can be explained better when you think of our modern cars that are on the road. And you can set your wipers to come across the windshield intermittently for whatever number of seconds. They'll wipe across the windshield and then stop for maybe 3 or 4 seconds or longer if you set the setting. Sometimes our prayers are like that, intermittently. We pray for a while about something and then we stop until we're stirred again. Then we start all over again. Samuel's prayer life was not like that at all. Samuel's prayers were not intermittent. Samuel was a man of prayer, and that was proven when the elders of the nation rejected godly Samuel as their judge. And they wanted a king like the other nations. Sort of like Keeping Up with the Joneses. They wanted a king like other nations. Samuel was heartbroken. And the Lord told Samuel, they have not rejected you, they have rejected me. And so the Lord gave them the king that they requested. That king, of course, was Saul. It wasn't very long until the elders of Israel realized their mistake. They didn't want Saul to be their king because he was taking everything from them. Their lands, their property, their sons and their daughters. And what happened? They came back to Samuel again. And they recognized Samuel as a man of prayer. And so they came to Samuel And they asked Samuel, "Samuel, will you pray for us?" This is what Samuel said. "Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you, but I will teach you the good and the right way." In other words, Samuel told the elders, "Listen, men, I haven't stopped praying. I've never ceased to pray for you." Mark again what Samuel said. "Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord." It is a sin when Christians don't pray, when Christians don't have a prayer life. That's what Samuel is saying. "God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you." Let's take that word, ceasing, that we have in 1 Samuel 12 and 23. The word there that Samuel used means to leave off. "God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in leaving off praying for you." Rejected. But Samuel did not leave off praying for those who had rejected him. So let us not leave off praying for that soul that needs the Lord, for that soul who has rejected Christ. Let us not leave off praying. Let us not pray intermittently, but rather let us pray without ceasing. Israel knew that Samuel was a man whose prayers for them were not offered up intermittently. They knew that Samuel would continue to pray for them, and whenever the Philistines threatened them, they went to Samuel and said, "Cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us, that he will save us out of the hand of the Philistines." There's another word, cease. It's different from the others. They came to Samuel and said, "Cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us." That word cease in 1 Samuel 7 verse 8, that word cease means to be silent. To be silent. So what do we have? You take the three words, all translated cease. First of all, to pray intermittently, now and again. Then the second word, cease, means to leave off. The third word for cease means to be silent. Usually that's what happens if we pray intermittently, just now and again. It'll not be too long before we don't pray at all. So we cease altogether, and our voices are silent as far as prayer is concerned. Let not our voice fall silent regarding prayer. But let us take the words to heart, the the words of Paul, pray without ceasing. Without ceasing. Pray, not intermittently, not leaving off, not falling silent, but pray without ceasing. We notice also that when Paul says pray without ceasing, he's speaking about being committed to prayer. Committed to prayer. Evidently, the Apostle Paul was a man who was committed to a life of prayer. And when he gives the exhortation, pray without ceasing, he's calling upon the saints to commit to a life of prayer. To commit to a life of prayer and to pray until an answer is gained. That's exactly what Jacob did. When spending the night in prayer to God, you recall he spent the whole night in God's presence before the open canopy of heaven. And then the Lord said to Jacob, let me go, for it is the breaking of the day. This was a test for Jacob. God said, let me go, because Jacob was holding on to the Lord. God said, let me go, for it is the breaking of the day, or the day breaketh. And he said, Jacob said, I will not. I will not let thee go except thou bless me. In other words, that night, Jacob's life was changed dramatically. He was no longer called Jacob, he was called Israel. Because he had power with God and power with man. And Jacob said, I will not. He was committed to praying until God blessed him. Isn't that what we need? That we will say to the Lord, I will not let thee go. I mean business. I intend doing business with God. I will not let thee go until thou bless me. Until I receive an answer. Genesis 32 and verse 26. That's what Paul meant. That's what Paul meant when he said, pray without ceasing. He meant for the Christians to lay hold on God as Jacob did, and to pray, and to pray, and to pray, and with those prayers say, Lord, I will not, I will not, I will not let thee go until thou bless me. He was committed to praying until he got the answer. Let us do that for our church here. Let us do that and commit ourselves and say, Lord, I will not let thee go. I will not until thy house is filled. I will not do it. The devil will tell me to give up. I'll have many a discouragement along the way. But I will not. I will not give up. I will pray without ceasing. Isn't that how Elijah prayed? It was certainly the way Jacob prayed. But it was the way Elijah prayed. But in 1 Kings 18, in verse 42, "And Ahab went up to eat and to drink." That's what Ahab did. But what did Elijah do? Elijah went up as well. Both of them went up, but for two very different reasons. Which would appeal to us more? What Ahab did or what Elijah did? And Elijah went up to the top of Carmel and cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees and said to his servant, "Go up now. Look toward the sea." And he went up and looked and said, "There is nothing. There is nothing." His servant went, looked toward the sea. Elijah was praying. He was on his knees praying. And he told his servant, "Go and look toward the sea." And he went and he looked and he came back. And he told Elijah, "Elijah, there's nothing. There's no sign of rain." Did Elijah cease? Did Elijah stop? You know, sometimes we are more like the servant than we are to Elijah. We look for an answer to prayer and there's nothing. Then we give up. That's not what Elijah did, for he said to the servant, "Go again seven times. You keep going and I'll keep praying." And it came to pass as Elijah continued praying without ceasing, it came to pass. The Lord answered. Came to pass. And it came to pass at the seventh time that he said, "Behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand." And he said, "Go up, say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not." God answered. Because you see, Elijah was committed to praying. There was nothing else he was going to do. He had no intention of coming down the mountain without receiving an answer to his prayers. Every time the servant came back and said, "There's nothing," Elijah went on praying. "Come back again. There's nothing." Elijah went on praying. "Come back again. There's nothing." Elijah didn't lose heart. Elijah kept on praying. He didn't give up praying. Let us not give up praying. Let us not, as the Lord said, lose heart. That brings us in the last place to an example of prayer. An example of praying without ceasing. Paul did not call upon the believers to do that which he was not prepared to do himself. And looking at the prayer life of Paul, we can see that he was a man who prayed without ceasing. We know that because, first of all, Paul believed in prayer. That's it. Paul believed in prayer. He must have believed in prayer when he called upon others to pray. He must have. Whenever he said to the Thessalonians, pray without ceasing, it was an indication Paul believed in prayer. And when he said in the verse 25, brethren, pray for us, was an evidence that he believed in prayer. When he spoke to the church at Philippi, in chapter 4, in verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. That's an indication Paul believed in prayer. He told the Colossian believers, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am in bonds. Colossians 4, verses 2 and 3. It's an indication Paul believed in prayer. For he said to the Colossians, continue in prayer, watch in the same with thanksgiving, with all, and he says, praying for us, that God would open unto us a door. Do you notice that? Paul believed that through the prayers of the people of God, God would open a door of utterance. He believed in prayer. He believed that prayer can open doors. That's what he believed. He believed that prayer would enable him to make known the mysteries of the gospel of Christ. That's what he believed. Do we believe in prayer? The Lord Jesus told his disciples what can be accomplished through prayer. The Lord told his disciples through prayer they could move mountains. May not be literal mountains, but there are things in your life and in mine that appear like mountains. And we wonder how they're going to be removed. By prayer. Pray without ceasing. I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. The church at Jerusalem in the days of Acts believed in prayer. For when Peter was imprisoned, we are told in Acts 12 and verse 5, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. See, the church believed in prayer. Prayer was made without ceasing. The word there means, that word, prayer was made without ceasing. We have another meaning to that word. That word means to have extended. It refers to extended seasons of prayer. So the church at Jerusalem had extended seasons of prayer. It wasn't just their regular prayer meeting. They had extended seasons of prayer. As we often do. In time of crisis. When there's something that is really pressing, then we have an extended season of prayer. Just as Charles Wesley penned the words, all things are possible to him that can in Jesus' name believe. Lord, I no more thy name blaspheme. Thy truth I lovingly receive. I can, I do believe in thee. All things are possible to me if we pray without ceasing. And the Savior said in Mark 11, verse 24, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray. He doesn't say, if ye pray. Oh, no. The Lord said, when ye pray. In other words, he expected his disciples to be men of prayer. He said, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them and ye shall have them. All things are possible. All things are possible. Don't give up praying. That soul you're praying for, don't give up praying. That need that needs to be met, don't give up praying. Whatever it is, don't give up praying. Rather, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Keep on praying. And come before God and say, I will not. I will not. Cease praying until thou bless me. I'm not giving up. By God's grace, I'm not giving up. Paul believed in prayer. Paul was burdened about prayer. That's evident too, is it not? He exhorts others to pray and have a burden for prayer. But he had a burden also. Paul told the Colossians, Colossians 1 verse 9, I do not cease to pray for you. He told the Thessalonians, wherefore also we pray always for you. Those are the words of a man who has a burden for prayer. He told the Philippians, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making mention with joy. Philippians 1 verse 4. That's a man who has a burden for prayer. He told the believers at Rome, without ceasing, I make mention of you always in my prayers. See, over and over again, without ceasing, or always, always, get a burden for prayer. Romans 1, verse 9. The man who believed in the power of prayer, he was a man who believed in bringing all things before the Lord in prayer. He was a man who believed that every difficulty could be resolved by prayer. He believed that every need could be met by prayer. May the Lord grant us that same belief in prayer. But then if we are looking for an example of praying, yes, we've looked at Paul, but let's look a bit higher. Let's look to Christ. You want an example of someone who knew what it was to pray and to pray without ceasing? Look to Christ. I'll take my time. I'll give you the references. You can write them down and look them up yourself. It would take perhaps too long this morning to look up every reference in the service. But you will notice in these references you find Christ praying. Matthew 14, verse 23. Matthew 26, verses 36, 39, 42. Mark 1, verse 35. Luke 3, verse 21. Luke 5, verse 16. Luke 6, verse 12. Luke 9, verse 18. Luke 9, verse 28, 29. Luke 11 and verse 1. And that's not all the references either. And that's not all the reference to the Lord's teaching on prayer. And so here you have the Son of God praying and praying without ceasing. Burdened about prayer. One who most certainly believed in prayer. And remember, this is the Son of God. The Son of God didn't need to confess sins in his place of prayer. He didn't need to confess his feelings. He didn't need to confess his shortcomings. He didn't need to confess his weaknesses. He had no such confessions to make, yet he believed in prayer. He was burdened for prayer. Where do we come in? Each time we go to the throne of grace, what is it? It's to confess our sins. Confess our weaknesses, confess our shortcomings. Confess how we have failed the Lord. Does the Lord not give us the supreme example? And you know something? Jesus Christ, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down in the right hand of God, where he ever liveth to make intercession for us. He's still praying. He hasn't given up praying for us. He's still praying. He still prays without ceasing. And I'll tell you something else. Every prayer of Christ is answered. Christ is never denied. And when we pray in his name, God is bound to answer. Don't give up praying. Let's bow our heads now in prayer. Most loving Father and eternal and gracious God, we thank thee for the exhortation, for the word of encouragement, that we are indeed to pray without ceasing. We're to always pray and not to faint, not to give up. Help us, Lord, to do that. We need thy grace to do that. For Lord, we will faint. That's our nature. That's what we are. We need thy grace, Lord, to keep us at it. To keep us praying. Even as Elijah prayed when the servant returned repeatedly, said, Elijah, there's nothing. But Elijah prayed without ceasing. Christ prayed without ceasing. Samuel prayed without ceasing. Paul prayed without ceasing. May we be numbered, Lord, in that company. Now, Lord, bless. We pray any who must leave now. And Lord, the rest of us that remain around the table, bless us again, Lord, with thy presence. Savior's name, we ask all these things. Amen.